Hey everyone.
Hey, Tony.
Hello, Ari. How are you?
I am fantastic. How you doing?
I am peachy keen. So we're a little slap happy tonight, everybody. So bear with us. But it is also Hodgepodge 2.0. So we're going to be discussing a variety of things tonight. But welcome to episode 129 of Resisting the Tapestry. Next episode is 130. Wild to think that we are already that far, right? But it's super exciting. So what have you been doing? How have you been? Tell me everything.
I don't know. I've been working on my college class. I'm coming up to the end of the semester. I've got a couple weeks left. I have been working on my script. The worm that ate me. And I got the first draft done, which it's very rough. It's very rough. But I managed to like bang out the first draft of that, which I'm going to be sharing some of it tonight, I think.
Absolutely.
And then I saw my ad in the movie theater, and I saw Barbie, and I've seen Oppenheimer now, but I didn't see them all at the same time because that would have been too much. I don't know how people saw Barbieheimer, but we're going to talk about that tonight too.
And yeah, a lot of people saw it back to back. Like I feel like both films, from what I've heard, cover like a lot of drastically different ground. So like,
yeah, lots of themes. I think that it would have been just a lot seeing both at the same time. But we'll talk about that because there's a lot of themes in both films.
Right.
But
so let's look at the comments really quick. I see we're getting some comments already. Arby is here, or was here. That comment was from a little while ago. Tiffany Gray. Hello, Tiffany. It's good to see you. I hope that you're doing well, my dear. Oh, my goodness.
What are you up to?
Go ahead. This week has been professional development week at school. So largely it's just been like doing a lot of professional development, getting prepped for classes and ready to go. I'm actually feeling pretty excited about the semester to start. And I feel like I have my poop in a group. Let's just say like, normally I feel like a hot mess, but I feel like I have my poop together, which is nice.
Speaking of hot mess, it is so hot out right now. Is it hot where you are?
Like, so the temperature
is so hot in Michigan right now.
It's been storming here for like 3 hours. Like, we've been getting a huge thunderstorm and it's been like raining. I've actually been worried about my basement because it flooded. Well, a corner of it flooded. So I'm like a little worried, but it seems to be okay. You know, just beyond that, you know, Tiffany is doing much better. Poop in a group I'm a poet after all.
Pee, pee, poop, poop.
I have to mention poop at some point in every episode that I'm making that my goal.
Absolutely, 100%.
Sophia is here. Hello, Sophia.
Hello, Sophia.
It's good to see you. Hope you've been doing well also. So beyond that, what else have I been doing? I've been trying to be more physically active lately. I've been working out like almost every day. So our basement, like we have a half finished basement. So part of the basement is like, we've converted it into like a little workout area. And we have like a little mounted TV and like a treadmill. So we've been like using that space. And we just got some refurbished Samsung watches. So that will hopefully help me kind of better keep track of the stuff. I don't know. Like since my health thing in July, I've been like really focused on like, okay, Donnie, take your physical health seriously. It's time to like get your poop in a group when it comes to that. So, but yeah, beyond that, nothing else has been going on. So current event snapshot.
Another indictment.
Indictments all around. So I was just listening to the news a little while ago, and apparently former President Donald Trump was admitted into Fulton County Jail, and then like just to get, you know, a mugshot taken and stuff like that, fingerprints done, and then has apparently left and everything because he doesn't have to stay due to what, the bond, I believe. But I would argue a very solemn moment in our history, the fact that we have a former president who has experienced this. It's kind of unsettling, in my opinion. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's, you know, I feel like they're just trying to mount more evidence to try to build a case, and that they're just trying to make sure that they have, they're just trying to make it so that when he runs for president, they're trying to make it so that, did you see that they also had the first Republican candidate? They had the first Republican candidate, debate, and he was not in it.
Oh yeah. He was not in it. I didn't watch the debate. Did you watch it?
I did not. But I saw that DeSantis was in it, and I saw that Mike Pence was in it.
I heard it was a hot mess express.
Well, it usually is, and most
right. Who am I kidding?
but I saw that he was not asked to be part of the debate, and I thought that was very significant because it's sort of like the Republican Party is rejecting him from running, and that they don't mm-hmm. want him to be part of. It's almost as like the Republicans are rejecting him as a viable candidate, and that they don't want him to be part of the Republican Party anymore.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of the vibe that I was getting too. Well, regardless, there's always something interesting happening. So many historic experiences in the last 4 years, and it's kind of getting exhausting.
And I wasn't sure if it was an old news story or a recent news story, because I was looking up old news events that were happening in Russia. Do you remember the Tunguska event that flattened a bunch of trees mm-hmm. in Russia? I thought I saw something recently about a Russian wildfire that was happening or something. So I thought that was very interesting. I wasn't sure if that was a recent event or not, but I saw something that there was like a Russian wildfire that was happening right now. I'm not sure if that was something that was. Let's look that up.
Yeah, let's look it up. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, considering it's interesting because most of the episodes that we've had the past few weeks, like we've had some sort of climate related thing to talk about because there's been so many climate related things happening. Largely the wildfires. Oh my gosh, Hurricane Hillary hit California. Of course, it was a tropical depression once it hit California, but the fact that the West Coast got hit by any sort of tropical depression or hurricane is extremely rare. I think the last time it happened was like, if memory serves me correctly, what they said was like 1939 or something. So wild, very.
Oh, it very was in July, and there was a wildfire in Siberia in July.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But I was looking up information about the Tunguska event, and I saw that there were some Russian wildfires. So I was, you know, old news about Russia. You don't often get a lot of, like, because we're very, you know, United States focused a lot of this time. We don't often get a lot of new news about things that happen in
mm-hmm. And other countries. Yeah. So Tiffany says 1939. Holy shit. Yes. So the Hurricane Hillary thing. Well, it's like the West Coast typically doesn't get a lot of hurricanes or tropical storms because the water's cold over there. But because of global warming and El Nino, like the waters in the Eastern Pacific by like Central America have been like warming, which is why like the West Coast and the high desert got hit by that.
Yeah, it's been raining in California, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought about you, Ari, actually, because like it said that like it was hitting Death Valley and everything too, and I was
Oh,
like,
really?
ooh,
Oh, that's
yeah.
really bad because when Death Valley floods, the road to the west, because there's highway that runs through there, and the what happens is that it's all desert, so basically like roads get washed out, and you get mudslides and things like that, and so there's no grip, there's no root system to absorb all of that. Also, Lake Manning starts to form too when you get floods and stuff out in Death Valley, which is very interesting because what happens is because it's just like it all goes down to the lowest, because Death Valley is more of a base, it's not a valley, it's more of a basin.
It's
So
a
all
caldera, like a volcanic caldera, isn't it? Like an old volcanic caldera or something.
Well, basically, it used to be all ocean down there, so it's all it just goes to the lowest point, which is negative 238 feet below sea level. So it all just goes to this lowest point, which is the salt flats. So basically, like it forms at Lake Manning, which is like this high concentration of salt. That's why everything looks white when you get to the salt flats, is because it's all just like dried salt on the sea floor, and you get like these like coral fossils and things like that, is because
Interesting.
it's all ocean basin. But like so it'll the lake will form again because like it'll all just kind of culminate down to that lowest point. But yeah, it's not unusual for it to like snow in Death Valley sometimes during the winter time. It has to get cold enough down there. I think the last time it snowed was like the 70s, but it has been known to snow down there. It does rain every so often, but when it rains, it floods, and it's kind of intense and can ruin buildings. It actually ruined the Hearst building, I believe it was.
Wow.
There's like a mansion that like the Hearst, I think that's what it was. There was like a castle that it like destroyed the castle or something out that way, like the road to the castle for a while. So like that road was like closed for like almost 2 years or something. But like it depends. Like roads get washed out for years because like it forms like these sinkholes and it just like destroys the whole road.
Yeah.
And then you
And
have to like
being that,
repair.
like, it's like there's just, I mean, you said there's no root systems. Like, even also, like, it's just such, it's like sand, like, piled on top of, like, it's, there's no drainage in the soil out there. So.
Right. It all just like culminates and like, and it forms mud, and then it just like slides downhill.
That's kind of scary. That's kind of scary.
It's very scary. Like it's it and so you have to be like, it's just that you have to be, it's rugged living.
Yeah.
It's like living in Death Valley. You're in Grand Canyon. It's just rugged living. You just have to get used to like living out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, like Tiffany's like, no wonder it's Death Valley. Any kind of weather can be, any, like, even the heat can be fatal out there, too.
Right. It would get up. I remember the hottest it got out there when I lived there was about 120 degrees, and you just walk outside and immediately break into a sweat. But I remember like people would just go out to like the Mesquite sand dunes, and they would walk out onto the sand dunes and like walk for about like maybe a couple minutes. And because they were so dehydrated, and they didn't have proper like protection from the sun, they would die in the heat, and like they would just collapse and die because it was so hot out.
Wow, that's really scary. Yeah, I don't think I could live there either. Ari, I give you major props for having lived there. That's not the climate that I would flourish in. So, are we ready for our mission statement?
Sure.
It's your turn.
We live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater opportunities for connection. It has led to a developing understanding of the adversity many marginalized communities face, the powers causing the adversity, and those who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave the threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate and create in a world that's growing.
Oh, love it. So you're probably like, everybody's probably wondering, why is the topic Hodgepodge 2.0 tonight? So if y'all probably remember last season, we did the first Hodgepodge episode, and I think we've kind of committed ourselves to doing like one or two Hodgepodges every season, mostly because it kind of like allows us the ease of having a night where we don't have like one specific topic, but instead we can talk about multiple different things. Because let's be honest, Ari and I love talking about a whole variety of different things, and it gives us a chance to exercise that just a little bit.
I just love Hodgepodge because it's sort of like we collect bits and bobs. It's sort of like we have ideas for stuff, but it's not a full episode idea. So it's sort of like we just collect little topics that we can just sort of like, you know, spend a few minutes just kind of delving into, but it's not a full episode idea. It's just sort of like, we can just sort of like, well, it's sort of like a potpourri idea. Like, oh, well, we could talk about this for a couple minutes. We could talk about this for a couple minutes. You know, it's sort of like, we can just sort of like delve into ideas for a few minutes, but it's not like, well, this is something that could be a full topic, but maybe it could develop into a full topic, I suppose, but usually it doesn't.
Restitching the Tapestry Junk Drawer Edition.
It really
is. That's really what we should have called it.
That's really what it is. It's the junk drawer. It's the stuff that sort of like culminates. Because some of the questions I'm just like, well, this is like stuff that like, you know, I'm collecting. Because it's stuff that's just like, We can talk about fluffy sweaters for a couple minutes. Let's talk about
fluffy sweaters. Let's do that. Okay, so Tiffany loves fluffy sweaters. So Tiffany, type in the chat why you love them so much. Do you like fluffy clothes and fluffy garb, Ari?
So I literally wore a sweater yesterday. It was so hot out yesterday. I went to go get coffee and I was going to the beach and I was like, because I have my apartment my apartment is so cool and like kind of like on the chillier side. I don't keep the air conditioning on, but it's just like there's kind of like cool air that just flows through my apartment. So like I'm on the chillier side. Like I'm wearing like a long sleeve shirt in here because it's on the chillier side in my apartment. Like it's just is sort of like it kind of has developed into like a kind of a swamp cooler that everything is just sort of up a certain temperature in my apartment. So I've decided mentally that this is what the temperature it is outside, that it's like this cool kind of fall like temperatures outside, that everything is cooling off and it's sort of like getting cold outside. So because last week you saw me on the poetry reading. I wore a sweater last week too. And I was like, oh, it's because everybody's talking about fall and I've got in my head that it's fall now. So yesterday I wore a sweater out into the world. And the thing about it is it was fine for a couple of minutes because I was in the shade, but then I got into my car and I had the air conditioning on in my car and it was fine in my car. But then I got out to like the coffee shop and then I got out to like the beach where it's sunny and hot.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, why did I wear a sweater? Why did I wear it? I was like, I don't mind wearing sweaters and stuff. I was like, it is not fall like temperature. It is like 90 degrees outside.
Oh God, I couldn't do it. So I did wear, okay, so I love cardigans. I have so many cardigans, probably a teachery thing. But I actually wore a cardigan today for the first time in the season because it's over here on this side of Michigan, it's been kind of dreary today. So like it was a little bit cooler and foggy. So I was like, it's a cardigan day. Like call me Taylor Swift, but you know what? Anyway. Yeah. So Tiffany says, it's a sensory thing. I've loved sweaters since I was a baby. I love their softness and I'm really ticklish. So like the softness of the sweaters tickle me. That's sweet. Love that. See, my issue is that I don't know, when I was younger, like I was always cold, but now that I've gotten older, like I'm always warm. So like sweater, like I have to like really prepare for my day. Like if I know it's going to be a cool day, I'll wear a sweater. But like, if it's going to be hot at any point, count me out. Because you know, in Michigan, like August, September, you think it's going to be full on autumn, but then like it will have like a a stray 80 degree day with 100% humidity and I'm dying. So
I hate the where it'll be cool in the morning and then it heats up in the afternoon, because then you wear like a sweater in the morning. You're like, oh, it's perfect. It's perfect day. And then it heats up and you're like, oh, it's not. It's too hot.
Right.
Cause then you have to wear a t-shirt underneath to like kind of take off. So my car, there is a collection of sweaters that have like taken up. Cause I wore t-shirts underneath my sweaters. So like I would take off all of my sweaters and just like they've collected in my car, like all of my cardigans and stuff. And so I have to like take them in and wash them because they've just decided to hang out in my car now for quite a bit. I actually finally took out all the trash that was in the passenger seat of my car because I never have anybody who's sitting in the passenger seat. So I just throw, like I'll drink coffee and then I'll just throw the, you know, in the foot spot of my.
Oh, yeah.
So trash just tends to collect down there.
Yeah, things tend to collect in my vehicle too. So, we have a series of different questions, just fun questions to ask. And well, let me get to Tiffany's comment first. I carry around a knitted shawl if I can't wear a sweater due to it being hot. That's a nice alternative. One that you can like stim with. That's good. So let's talk about our energy. Let's talk about our energy. Ooh. Your energy. So would you describe yourself as a high energy person or a low energy person?
And I have always been somebody who is, because of my bipolar and because of my manic energy, because I'm usually most of the time I'm operating at kind of like a hypomanic level. But sometimes I crash and I'm like really low. You can tell when I'm in a depressive state because, and medication has definitely brought me down to a more reasonable level in that I am less of like in your face, like aggressively energetic. I would say that I am a very energetic person, that I am a very go, go, go person, that, you know, and that I am a very disciplined person, that when I set myself to doing something, I'm just going to eat the frog and do the thing that I've set myself out to doing. But the thing about it is that it depends on whether or not I'm invested in the thing. Like if I'm invested in it, I will maintain that thing for as long as possible to keep it up. And I will, you know, like, because I used to make daily videos. Remember my old channel, the old Strange Nothings channel? I would make videos literally like every day. Like it was, I did that for like over 2 years. I just would make a daily video, just pushing out content. And like to what end? You know, like what was the goal of that? Like why would I, you know, do that to myself? So at a certain point, you know, you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of this energy output that I'm doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, this could be a whole episode idea in the future too, because I feel like we could talk about this at length. I'm an energetic person depending on the situation. And I mean, my own bipolar probably contributes to it too. But like if I'm in like in a social setting where I'm expected to be performative in any way, like I try to like embody a little bit more energy so people don't think I'm like this lethargic husk of a human being. But when I'm at home, like I can definitely be very low energy. Tiffany says very low energy for me. I get so tired and exhausted easily because I feel things so intensely and get overwhelmed very easily. Yeah. Like sometimes emotions can definitely like sap energy, right?
But the thing about it is that I get most of my best work done, especially like with writing and with creation. I get most of my best work done in the morning. I find that like most of my high energy, high thought process, like solid work, like high thinking stuff is done in the morning. And so as the day wears on, my higher thinking levels start to decrease. So by the time like And like, I do recoup some of that mental energy after I do my night meditation. So like, I do have that, but most of the rest of the day, like as the day wears on, as we come towards the night, I'm kind of just slowing down and I'm like wearing down and I'm sort of getting myself ready to get towards that sleep mode. And so it's that I'm trying to do more relaxing things as the night wears on. So I'm watching like YouTube or like turning off my brain kind of like, or reading or, you know, not doing things that involve like a lot of, maybe I'll do some like painting or like I'll do, and I'll watch like TV, but like, I just don't do like a lot of like high level, like the, this, the social aspect of like you and I hanging out and like having a conversation is probably the most high level thinking that I'll do at night.
I love that though. Well, so you know, I'm kind of different. For me, like in the morning, I'm a zombie. Like people can't look at me, talk to me, none of it. Like if a cat meows at me, that's too much for me in the morning. Like, so like, I think for me, it's like once like maybe 9 or 10 a.m. hit, then I'm like, okay, I'm like feeling it. So I'm like, I kind of get high energy like in the late morning, and then like noon hits, it's like a rug is pulled off from under me. Like noon hits, I'm like low energy. And then throughout the day, it builds and builds and builds. And then at night, actually, I am at my most creative, surprisingly. I don't know why it's always been that way for me. And it's been kind of difficult because, like, obviously, I need to sleep at some point. So, like, I used to be that person that would, like, stay up super duper late until, like, obviously that started to impact, like, my ability to function during the day. So, yeah, that didn't last forever. But, like, even to this day, like, nighttime, like, evenings are usually, like, my most productive intellectual energy creation time, if that makes sense. So let's see. Arpy says, energy depends for me. I get overwhelmed easily sometimes. Tiffany says, I can't turn off my brain because it doesn't exist. Oh, it exists, my friend. No, but that, like, honestly, that could be a whole episode idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down right now. But it's true though, like we do get a lot of episode ideas from doing because we're like, ooh, we like that topic. Energy. What's next on our list?
What's one big thing you've learned lately?
So one thing that I've learned kind of started during a therapy session a couple of weeks ago. I kind of have like this fixation where because I've struggled so long with belonging that I kind of expect to belong everywhere, even when I'm not known or when people don't know me. Like I kind of just like, how do I describe it? I'm kind of like one of those, like, look at me, I'm here people sometimes if I'm in like in a specific headspace. And I used to really take such huge offense when people like, maybe if they overlooked me for inviting me to something, or if, you know, like I wasn't asked to do something that everyone else was doing. And I was introduced to like this theory on TikTok called the let them theory, where like, it's like this philosophy of like, then let them do that thing. You know, like it doesn't impact you. It doesn't like, you're good, Donnie. Like let them do it.
Interesting.
You can't be everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
Essentially. So
I like that.
Is that another episode idea? All right.
Interesting.
What about you?
So I listen to, my night meditation, I do the global group meditation with Bob Roth, who is the head of the David Lynch Foundation. And so he comes on and he'll say a fun little fact every day before we do our meditation. And then afterward, he does a quote or a poem. So today he was talking about, what was he talking about today? He was talking about brainwashing, which is not like conditioning or anything. He was talking about like when you sleep and get an adequate amount of sleep, the thing about what happens is when you sleep, the reason why it's good to get a certain amount of sleep every night is that your brain basically like clears out all of the day's like events, and it's sort of like you're resetting yourself for the next day. So it's like literally like washing your brain of all of the stuff that you've gone through every day, and it's sort of like resetting yourself. That's why you have like dreams and stuff, is that it's allowing yourself to process what you've been through, and it's literally like your body sends chemicals through your spinal cord to your brain to you know, wash your brain of all of the like cortisol and things, if you're like to de-stress yourself and to wash your brain of the day's activities.
So it's kind of like, remember in the 90s when we had to like defrag our computers all the time to make them move faster? It reminds me of that.
It's kind of
we're defragging ourselves.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, it was very interesting. And it was just a very interesting fact, because it made me really think about like, just because I've been really tired lately, and I was just like, you know, I've been getting like naps in the afternoon, and like naps are fine and everything, but like it doesn't replace, and like he said this before, like naps don't replace like getting an adequate amount of sleep at night. Mm-hmm. Like it's fine to take a nap and everything, but like if you're tired, like you should really just get an adequate amount of sleep.
Yeah, because when you nap, you don't really reach the depth of sleep required. Isn't it REM, like when we enter REM cycles, isn't that when like it actually,
yeah, but like, that's why meditation, the kind of meditation that I do, is because you do get those deep levels of rest during meditation, because you're reaching those deep levels of like REM, and that's why meditation is so, that's why they say meditation, the transcendental meditation is so good, is because you do get like a certain amount of rest for like a little bit, and then later on when you get sleep, you get that restorative like deeper sleep. But
interesting,
that's just me talking good about transcendental meditation.
I love it. I used to meditate all the time, but I don't really do a lot of meditation anymore. So Tiffany has learned that it's okay to cut off toxic friends, even if you've been really close to them for years and love them deeply. That can be a really difficult thing to do, right? Like, because I think people like us, like we really just like want to like, again, like belong, right? Like, and we really create like strong connections with people and believe in people. And if, you know, somebody ends up being very toxic, like, what do? Right. You have to make whatever decision is best for you. What is your feelings on that, Ari?
I think if somebody is acting in a toxic way, it is okay to cut them off. Especially if they are, if you feel as though they have crossed boundaries and there's just no reconciling that, you know, it's okay to cut them off, because I've had to do it in the past. Especially with, I met some friends on TikTok, and, you know, they were just acting in ways that I was just like not comfortable with. Like they were asking money from me, and like they were doing things that were just very toxic, and they were doing things that were messing with my mental health. And I was just like, I just need to cut these people off, because they don't have my best interest at heart. They're not acting in a way that's very appropriate. And I just need to
let that go. Let them go. Well, and I, like, for me, like, I would say, like, the biggest occasion in my life when I ended up making that boundary with people, which was probably college. Like, I've ended up cutting a lot of people out, like, post-college, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, you don't really realize the gravity of people's toxic behavior sometimes until, like, a long time after you've dealt with that behavior, which can be kind of jarring, right? Because, like, at the time, it's like wearing rose-tinted glasses. And then, like, later in life, you take them off and you're like, wow, that thing I had to deal with was very shitty or, you know, concerning, you know. So, Arpy says, fitting in can be tough for me.
I'm sorry you have that.
Yeah, I'm sorry you feel that way too, Arpy. Tiffany Gray says, I've also learned about seeing people's true colors and realizing who my true friends are and who doesn't give six flying dog shits about me. Well, it's kind of going back to that let them theory thing that I was talking about. Part of that theory is like letting those people do whatever they're doing, because eventually their true intentions will be revealed through whatever they're doing, even if it like excludes, omits, or overlooks you in some way. So
yeah, sometimes just letting people say, like, sometimes if you just let people talk, their true selves will be revealed. If you just, you know, sit back and let them say what they're going to say and let them do what they're
going to absolutely
gonna, and let their true actions reveal, like, because when you start listening to people, like, what they truly mean will come out. And like, if you truly listen to what people say, or like, if you look at their actions, like, it truly, like, truly who they are and what they truly mean will come out.
Yeah, agreed. Arpy says, I hate when someone who isn't who you thought they were in a negative way, if that makes sense. Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, people are very much performative, right? And there are some people, like, depending on what space they're in, they might shift between friend groups. Sometimes, like, they are able to adjust their performative qualities based on whatever group that they're in, kind of like being a chameleon. And in theory, there's not really anything wrong with that, because a lot of people have personalities like that. In the past, I have too, but it's what you do with that behavior. Like, if you weaponize it, that's when it becomes concerning, right?
See, I never understood that. I never understood that, because I've always been the same person, like, across, like, I've never changed myself to fit into a certain group. I've just always been the same person across the board. Like, I've never changed myself to fit in to, I've never had that people pleasing tendency to, like, be, and maybe that's just like shows, like, that I've just tried to always try to live that authentic life. Mm-hmm. And, but I can understand why people do it, is because there's a fear of, like, if you don't fit into the group by, you know, fitting it to their social standards, that they'll reject you in some kind of way. And so, like,
yeah,
I can understand why certain people would want, I can understand why, especially you, Donnie, because, like, you want to, you know, fit into the group, and that there's an expectation, especially, like, because for me, I was always, like, a cis woman. So, like, it was just always, like, I was kind of, like, part of that monoculture for the longest time. So there was always, like, an expectation that it was just take me as I am. I'm just who I am. But for you as, like, a gay man, it was always, like, ooh, if I don't behave in a certain way, or, like, if I don't fit myself into a certain social structure, maybe they won't accept me as I am.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I think, honestly, it was something that I would do more so in college. Because, like, especially, like, having come out and, like, trying to fit in with other gay men, like, a lot of gay men, when it came to, like, attractive, like, what they were attracted to, me looking for someone at that time, mm-hmm. like, they wanted somebody who was, like, masculine, you know, fitting, like, a bunch of different specific identifiers that, like, they found attractive. So, like, I would try, like, I would go between friend groups. If, like, there were friend groups of, like, gay men that I wanted to try to appeal to, like, I would over-masculate myself. I kind of code switchy, right? And then, like, the older I got.
I've sort of done that with partners, though, where becoming, like, their dream girl or whatever. Like, you placate to a partner to, like, be that dream partner for them, and, like, you know, do certain things to make them seem that you're a certain way. I suppose I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, like, there have been subtle ways where we have, like, made those adjustments. I know, like, sometimes for me, like, one thing that I adjust, like, especially if I'm in a professional setting, like, I try to be more charismatic than I actually am, because I don't really think of myself as being super charismatic. But, like, in a space, like, in teaching, when I have to be performative and keep people engaged and focused and stuff like that, like I kind of have to, like, turn it up, if that makes sense. Turn it up and turn it out.
I think I read more, like, when I dated certain partners, I would read more philosophy because I thought that that would make me more appealing, but also because I was more interested in philosophy. Like, I would do certain things like that. It wasn't because I wasn't interested in those things, but it would just be like, I would read more of certain things because it was sort of like that it would cause me to be able to have certain conversations with them. And like, I became vegetarian because, I suppose I became vegetarian in my own accord, but also, I know that it was sort of like a philosophical choice that I knew made me more appealing to certain people. So it's that initially when I started that, I didn't do it for other people necessarily, but I knew that it made me sort of more attractive in a certain light as well.
Right. No, like I've done similar things before too, where like I've like tried to get into specific things or like that I knew that person would like that because like maybe it would make me appreciate them more or they would see that and stuff like that. But man, we used to do a lot. So, let's see. RP says, I tend to be more talkative around people I'm more comfortable with. Same here.
Mm-hmm.
Same here. Let's talk about Barbieheimer. Let's do it.
So it was so interesting because the themes of the whole philosophy of Barbieheimer is so fascinating because it talks about this idea of like double feature. And like the idea of double feature is not a new concept. Like double feature movies have always, and like it, this is, but this is like an unexpected double feature. This is like two movies of vastly different themes being put together as like a package deal. Mm-hmm. And so it became sort of like a meme. And so like Hollywood is trying to kind of recreate that, but like they could just make double feature movies. Like, I mean, Quentin Tarantino had a double feature movie with like Death Proof and what was the other one? It was like Death Proof
what was it?
But he did a double feature movie and it's totally possible to do double feature movies. People like double feature movies.
Oh,
it's,
absolutely.
It's a fun gimmick. Like, I think that I was talking, and you know, I was on my private Instagram, my secret private Instagram, and I was talking about a possible idea for what they could do next as a double feature movie. And I was talking about like this, because really what the common theme between the two movies is that Barbie is from like a 60s theme, like because they were using old technology in the Barbie movie. Did you watch the Barbie movie?
I've not seen the Barbie movie, but I've seen a lot of dialogue around an analysis of the Barbie movie.
So one of the thing about the Barbie movie is that some of the special effects that they used, especially like the transition from Barbie world into the real world, they used old time effects, like 1920s effects, to recreate the, like they used old timey effects. Like they used practical effects instead of using like CGI or using like, you know, upscale effects. And so, and that was a thing that they used in Oppenheimer too. They used practical old time effects to create the bomb effect in Oppenheimer. But these two movies are set in basically like, because Barbie is like 1960s culture that, and this is so bright and it's so like, you know.
Like bright and kitschy and yeah.
And then you have Oppenheimer, which is this dark kind of like, you know, noir type feel to it. So it has this like 1940s, 1950s culture to it around that time period in American history. So I thought if you're going to make a double feature, make a new classical film noir, LA Confidential style movie and also make like a beach movie, like Annette Funicello beach romance movie musical, because that's basically what they did with Barbie. Make a beach movie where they're dancing on the beach and they're doing like an homage to Annette Funicello, where there's some kind of like beach mystery romance where they have to do certain things and they're just dancing on the beach and doing some kind of like Beach Boys. Even if they get the Beach Boys to get together to make a soundtrack, if they got the Beach Boys to get together and to work on a soundtrack, oh my God, could you imagine if they got Brian Wilson together to put together some music?
That would be amazing. Why has this not happened yet?
Could you imagine if they got someone like all that together? I'm just saying.
I think this is a script idea.
I'm just saying, stuff like that would be like fantastic if they got Brian Wilson to do stuff for a beach movie. And I was just thinking about this, and I was just like, that is how you package a movie together for a double feature. That is, and then you show it at like the drive-in. Holy crap, that is how you get together a theme.
And that just, it gets people, it gets buy-in on two different fronts. Like, it gets people, it appeals to people in two different ways.
But the reason why Barbieheimer was so popular is because, yes, that's how you spell my name. But the reason why Barbieheimer was so popular is because both movies are so good as standalone stories. Like, Greta Gerwig wrote a really good script for Barbie movie, and the Oppenheimer movie, the script is just so good. Like, chef's kiss. Like, the stories themselves are just so amazing. And I really think that Oppenheimer's going to win Oscars. I think that Barbie can win Oscars too.
This is proof of why it's so important, Hollywood, to pay your damn writers. Pay your writers. So Tiffany says, both Arpy and Tiffany want to see the Barbie movie. I do too. Arpy asks, do I have a favorite Backstreet Boy or NSYNC member? Because I'm a homo, Lance Bass has got to be my favorite NSYNC member. Favorite Backstreet Boy. Do you remember are you familiar with the Backstreet Boys?
Yes, I am.
Who's the older guy who had like long hair sometimes and a mustache sometimes?
I don't know.
What's his name?
I don't know their names.
Why can't I remember his name? I'm looking this up really quick.
See, I wasn't into boy bands when I was in high school.
I mean, My Little Gay Soul. Kevin Richardson. That was his name. I used to have a crush on Kevin. Anyway. And Tiffany says, you're so creative, Ari.
Thank you.
So
I had a crush on Justin Timberlake from NSYNC when he was in NSYNC with the curly hair.
I used to have a crush on Brian from Backstreet Boys until he became a very problematic person, and now I don't anymore. Tiffany's favorite Backstreet Boy is Nick Carter. Yeah, Nick, attractive, a very attractive man. Ari, since we're talking about writing and Hollywood and scripts, do you want to read a snippet from your script?
Oh my God. Okay. So The Worm That Ate Me is about this 19-year-old girl who's working at the burger joint. And at the same time, she fell down a trash chute and she is slowly being eaten by a worm. So I'll read the grocery store scene. Heather walks across the blacktop of a parking lot on an early spring day, mountains in the background, heading towards a local small grocery store. The parking lot is full of cars and people are rushing towards the parking lot with carts, headed inside in a frantic rush. The sound is dominated by her attempt to breathe through her mask. Heather, to herself, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Close up. She slows down her steps and stops as she enters the store. For a moment, she closes her eyes and sways where she stands. Pan back. Heather checks her pulse for a moment and then opens her eyes and surveys the scene from the grocery store. The store is filled with people rushing back and forth, fighting over the last few supplies that remain. Most of the shelves are empty. Walking through the store, she comes upon a massive stack of individual rolls of toilet paper, and people are in the midst of a massive battle royale, punching, screaming, and kicking, hair-pulling fight to get the rolls into their cart. A large burly man, ripped with muscles, brandishing a large gun, and his wife, an aging blonde woman who is dressed in homemade paisley dress and hair in a braid, managed to get most of the toilet paper into their cart before running off with it. Heather stares at the scene in front of her, the couple headed for the door, not even paying for the toilet paper as they rush out. As she watches them disappear outside, loud gunshots are heard. She turns back and closes her eyes, squeezing them tight.
This level of sensory details in that are stunning. Like, I can definitely feel, like, the utter chaos of the moment. Mm-hmm. And, like, the... What's the other word I'm thinking of? Not only the chaos, but, like, kind of just the just anxiety of that moment.
Yeah.
Like, the building of the energy. Like, when you were writing that scene, like, what was like your inspiration for it?
So it was because this is about the pandemic. I'm just talking about just the mass consumerism that, was experienced during the pandemic, and just like the amount of just disgusting display that people were, just the mass consumerism, disgusting display and fear that people were doing for something, for consumer goods, and the amount of just, you know, fight over something that was so simple and so basic. I mean, toilet paper is something that, you know, I mean, just the fight over a consumer good like that, and that people were going to such ridiculous lengths to get something that, and they were hoarding, people were hoarding toilet paper, and like, you know, the people, and I remember the gas thing that people were, gas, and they were doing weird stuff like putting it into trash bags and stuff like that. It was so weird.
Oh god, putting it in like vats and like just throwing it in the back of their car. You know, like I was wondering if that was part of the inspiration, because like that really, I mean, it was almost haunting to hear those descriptions, right? Like, I don't know about you, but like I did a lot of videos during the pandemic. I think both of us like did a lot of documenting, and I periodically will go back and watch them, and I like just the vacant store shelves, like the, like just how quiet everybody was at the store, right? Like it was very,
and just how separated people were, and just like how afraid we were to be close to each other. But then like you would get these moments where people would just like fight over things, like because there would just be like just mad because there would, because people would bring in pallets of things like when there would be goods, and people would just like mad rush them and just like, I've got to get these before other people do, like bleach. When they would have bleach, people would fight over bleach, or like hand sanitizer. People would fight over hand sanitizer.
Oh my God. Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
Clorox. Like people would fight over like so many different things. That was such a wild time.
Yeah.
It was a wild time.
And like gloves, those plastic gloves, the vinyl gloves, people would fight over gloves too. And like face masks.
Dawn dish soap. So Tiffany says, wow, Ari, you're so good.
Yeah, thank you.
Arpy says, Ari, you're beyond talented. Thank you. I could not agree more. Tiffany says, I remember at the very beginning of the pandemic, there were some punk-ass kids going into grocery stores and coughing on the merchandise. I remember that, too. I remember hearing about that in multiple situations. Or, like, Karens, like, being mad about masks and, like, coughing at other people, like, out of spite. Like, messed up stuff. Ooh. So, let's... Okay,
I remember people having COVID and still traveling.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, right? I mean, okay, so we just, like, got done, like, listening to a snippet of your script. Like, obviously, like, I think we're in a very interesting time because there's a writer strike happening in Hollywood right now, like a writer strike, an actor strike. I think artists are striking right now as well. Do we want to talk about that a little bit, like to kind of like conclude things tonight? So like, what do you think about like the actors and writer strike?
I'm not sure what it means for me as a writer, because you know, I'm still pumping out ideas and I still have all of this stuff, and I'm not sure what it means for me as somebody who's not part of the union, mm-hmm. you know, who is just trying to get my start in Hollywood. You know, I'm not sure what it means for me as somebody who is, because, you know, I don't, is it that, you know, my work is going to get used and thrown into AI? Because I don't want that to happen. I don't want my work to get fed into AI and get regurgitated by a machine. I definitely don't right. want that to happen. I don't want my work to get sampled by a machine and get, you know, I definitely don't want that to happen. But I definitely do want to, you know, get my foot in the door mm-hmm. and make a name for myself. But it's definitely difficult because, you know, it's sort of like you're in a rock and a hard place, because it's sort of like you want to, you know, get in the door, and it's sort of like you want to make a name for yourself, but it's sort of like what concessions are going to be made, because they're going to take advantage of somebody who is, you know, vulnerable, and what will they do to somebody who is trying to make a name for themselves, and right. what kind of, you know, what will
no,
they
you're
do?
Absolutely right.
So
RB says AI needs to go. So that's that's interesting. Let's talk about this for a second. Do you think that, well, obviously like these strikes, like part of it is like this threat of like major studios using AI as opposed to actual writers or actors or artists, etc., right? Because obviously they think that would save the money instead of like actually rewarding talented people with the money that they deserve.
I just think that AI is not good. I just don't think it's very useful. I just don't think it's,
yeah.
I just don't think that it's going to be as good as using people.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. Like now, being that we are technologically advancing all the time, like I think it's impossible to avoid AI being in our future, but it's what we do with the AI that matters, right? Like, I think that maybe, like, because I know, like, in academia, like, a lot of the workshops and conferences that I've been attending this past week have been about, like, ChatGPT and, like, the peril that it poses when it comes to, like, student essays and stuff like that. And we're, like, a lot of people are wanting to, like, use it as, like, simply a complementary tool to, like, assist in the writing process when it comes to idea generation,
but
as opposed to like
so bad. It's so bad.
It is like, it's like, if it gets to a point where it's perfected, where it's actually meaningful and useful without like compromising
just,
a person's.
It won't. It's too stupid. It's not going to be a useful tool. Because it's only as useful as we make it. And it's just, it's basically like an Ouroboros. It only eats mm-hmm. itself through its tail. So it doesn't provide any meaningful content. It just regurgitates, you know, stuff back to us. So it just doesn't, it's not going to ever provide anything that's meaningful back to us. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's better, you know, using Google Scholar and it doesn't have consciousness, so it's not going to provide us with any meaningful situations. Like it's just not going to be meaningful in any way.
Yeah. RP says the AI song. Oh, people are doing a lot of AI songs and they're, I don't know how I feel about that. Like if I were an artist and somebody was using my voice to create AI songs, I would be really upset. Tiffany says, I don't really agree that AI needs to go all the way. I think it's a good, it is good for some things. I like to use AI for artistic and creative purposes. I do think it can inspire things. Like I know people who have like written poems inspired by like,
wrote a book using ChatGPT, Tracks of a Digital Heartbeat. But it's definitely has, it has its place for things. I definitely had to do a lot of finagling to get the poetry that I did out of it. It's definitely not a smart tool. Like, it's definitely a very blunt tool. You have to do a lot of finessing to get what you want out of it. It's definitely not something that it's going to do it on its own. Like, you have to, it's just a tool. Like, it's not something that is smart in any shape or form. It's sort of like clay, and you have to shape the clay.
Right. Oh, I 100% agree. Yeah. So, okay, last thing that we'll talk about, and then we'll wrap things up. Is Mercury in retrograde right now? Because people have been...
It is. It went in retrograde on the 23rd.
Ooh.
And it's in retrograde until the 14th. Have you... My sister said she had problems with her air conditioner going out, and that she's had trouble with her phone.
The remote to one of our TVs just almost exploded the other day. We have like an Amazon Fire TV, and the remote stopped working, and I took the batteries out, and it was physically like so hot that it burnt my hand.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Have you had random people like texting you or messaging you?
I have. Yes, I have. And I've had like random people like that I don't know just striking up conversation with me at the store unprovoked.
But Mercury retrograde.
Yep. And it lasts until when?
The 14th of September.
We could have a whole conversation about retrograde and like what that means. Because like honestly, like people are interesting. And it makes people interesting.
It's and you know what's really weird is we have a blue moon on the 31st.
Yeah, and we've been having solar storms too, like that also.
Yeah, this Mercury retrograde is going to be intense. And the thing about it is, and then in October, there's a partial solar eclipse in October, on October 14th, which is the new moon. So on the new moon, there is a solar eclipse, like a partial one in the southern United States. So like, we'll see some of it, but not all of it. And then on the full moon, there's a lunar eclipse, like around Halloween.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting around Halloween. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh my goodness. Well, everyone, this has been a really fun conversation. See, hodgepodges are fun. That means we can talk about a whole variety of different things. But I had a lot of fun tonight. Ari, do you have any parting words for us this evening?
Stay safe, protect yourself, you know, back up your work on technology.
Absolutely. Always be secure with regard to your creations. Anyway, everyone, we love you. Have a good rest of your night, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye. Mwah. Mwah.